Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Welcome to the podcast, episode 560. If you were tuned in last week, that was episode 559.
No shit.
I bet 561's coming next.
Dude, I heard it was.
You think so?
We'll see. I don't know.
Gee dang.
I don't know math, but I do know I'm having a lot of fun.
That's right.
Thank you guys for tuning in to the Working Class Bow Hunter. Please help us out. Share with your friends. Give us a like, a share, again a share, a subscribe, a comment. Review. A review would be good. A good review would be even better.
Yeah.
Please be good.
iTunes, give us a review. How much you like Doug's mustache?
Spotify?
Oh, that'd be nice.
Should we do a giveaway? You want to do some new merch giveaway on a review?
Fucking A, Billy and Ray.
Okay. For all the new reviews we see that say, give us the review, and at the end, say something about Doug's mustache at the end of your review. That's how we'll know.
Yeah, I'll be reading them, so it'll be nice.
So we'll just let it run a month. When we see the new reviews, we see something after the review about a mustache, we'll know it's an entry.
Doug can read them and pick one.
I like that.
Oh.
Doug can pick his favorite one.
Best review?
That's right.
Oh, I like that.
Okay. We get a swag pack.
Hey, something, speaking of giveaways, we didn't promote it on last week's episode, but we're doing a big trade show giveaway.
Huge.
So in the giveaway, we are giving away a lot of goodies. So it's free to enter the giveaway. Away seems very repetitive at this moment in time. Come see us, free to enter. And I'm looking and pulling up my list of all the shit we're giving away. Good shit. Win free gear. We're giving away a Novix Ready to Hunt package.
Whoa.
We're giving away an Elite Omnia.
Oh, my.
A Big Time Food Plot package.
Holy shit.
We're giving away a Dialed Archery sight. Hey, you clicked on this. You could win a free sight after talking about it in this episode. We're giving away a Trophy Line saddle kit. Grizzly Coolers is giving away a Grizzly Cooler drink package kit.
Wow.
Am I forgetting something?
No. This is all going to one person.
No, each one is a different winner.
How do I win?
So you can win more than one prize. You could. Unlikely, but there's more chances to win. Doug, you come to our booth. You say, I love your guys' show. How do I enter? I say, well, are you subscribed? And you go,
no, I'm not, actually.
Well, let me show you how to get subscribed. Let me see your phone. We'll subscribe you up. Oh, look, oh, magically
let me delete this browser
entered.
Real quick.
Yeah, okay, delete your browser. What? Here. Okay, now you're subscribed. See that? You're entered.
Oh, awesome.
Bingo.
Be about your way.
All right, have a good day.
You don't even have to buy anything to enter the giveaway. And pass that guy.
It's free?
It's free, Doug.
Holy shit.
So we didn't promote that for the Indiana. Well, we did, but last week we didn't. But this coming weekend, we will be at the Iowa Event Center in Des Moines, Iowa for the Iowa Deer Classic.
Hoo-ah.
Doug's probably going to get entered because he doesn't follow any of our stuff.
Yeah, do you even know what we do here?
I'm just trying to win some free shit, dude.
Well, if you're going to be there, I'll teach you how to enter.
All right.
But you can enter at the Iowa Deer Classic to win some free goodies. A bow. Some food pot seeds, some drink packages, the Trophy Line saddle kit.
A sight.
That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. I don't know what the total value is.
I think the...
$400,000.
It's fucking close, dude.
Might be a little high.
It might be just a little high.
Oh. The trophy line kit that we're giving away is a $700 value alone.
See, that's close.
So, check us out. We'll be at the Iowa Deer Classic. I don't know our booth number. Just look around. You'll fucking see us.
You can't miss just it. Just look around.
We'll be there, dude.
Move around.
The podcast is brought to you by Elite Archery. They supported us to do this on the interwebs. And the Omnia is currently what we're shooting.
Look at all them colors.
It's a fast son of a gun.
Baby is a smoker.
347 feet per second. We're talking 32-inch axle to axle, 6-inch brace height, peak weights 40 to 70, 24.5 to 30-inch draw lengths. Where you at? It's going to be a smoker. I'm shooting 70-pound bow this year, boys and girls.
Sexy son of a bitch.
I'm trying to shoot shit and then hit the shit behind it.
That's what we're going for. It's a good goal.
Watch out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's me.
Get out of my way.
Get out of my damn way. The podcast also brought to you by Trophy Line. We talked about them. We're giving away some Trophy Line stuff, and we're talking the Fanatic Saddle. You're going to win the new brown and color Fanatic Saddle from Trophy Line.
There's a new color.
And just think how good your butt looking that.
Dude, I have I have a black one, but the brown one's pretty sexy. It actually is a badass saddle.
That buckle system on there brown. Is bar none the best out there.
It's comfy, too. I sat in a saddle for, 8-9 hours this year, and I was good. I mean,
dude, that's a long sit.
My feet are the thing that gets, I'm not used to that yet, but that might just be because I had the wrong boots on at the time. But that's a me
you
problem.
Need better feet.
Use code WCB. You get yourself one of the new Fanatic saddles. They are the shit. Giving away big time kit. It's a Clover food plot kit. I think 4 acres. And we're giving away Borderline with it. We talked about Borderline last week. And we're talking this week, too. I think Borderline's an underutilized seed. But the Clover Select, Foundation Clover, Main Buck Event, Buck Brunch. It's all good stuff. Buck Brunch will grow in your truck, man. I'm telling you, in the back of your truck.
The deer will love you.
The deer will love you. Use code WCB2023 at bigtime.com. And we're talking Leupold optics, but we're not talking optics. We're still talking about Leupold in relation to your eyeballs, but we're talking performance eyewear from Leupold.
And Bridgers are slicker than shit.
Is that the ones we both wear? Do we wear the same ones?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the Bridgers. That's the new one.
A new pair.
The Katmai, I don't know if I'm saying that right, but that's my favorite pair. Closeout. They got closeout stuff going on.
Getting rid of them.
I wear the all blacked out shadow gray ones. My favorite glasses ever. They fit. I got a big square face.
I like the gold lens.
You do? You're a lens guy.
Dude, you got to stand out of the crowd, buddy.
Yeah, okay.
I got to get some replacement lenses. I've worn mine out.
Scratching them up?
Yeah, I wear mine every day.
Dude.
Every day, all day.
You're farming them.
Even if the sun's not out?
Even if the sun's not out.
Block out the haters.
I just like looking cool.
I can't see shit out of this thing.
I can't see shit out of this
thing. Block out the haters, man. And Old Barn Taxidermy. Old Barn Taxidermy, Inc. Also G2 Forms. You can have an Old Barn Taxidermy product at your local taxidermist if you're nowhere near Old Barn.
Think about it.
I just put in with Sam the order for my mountain lion mount today. So I decided on that, and I'm pretty excited for it, man. But Old Barn, I really think one of the best in the game. The people behind the brand are
the best.
For sure the best in the game. Absolutely love everything you're doing. Fort Madison, Iowa, look up Old Barn Taxidermy. Tell them we said hello.
Find me another taxidermist when you bring your deer over and like, hey, can you do me a favor and take some pictures? And then Sam would take you out, butt crack out and all. In the cold and take pictures of you.
With your butt?
Yeah.
It's a good dude right there.
Dude, he's the man.
They're like family. Old Barn Taxidermy. And Doug, you got a veteran shout out for us this week, my dear friend?
I do have one. This one's submitted by Matthew Brigadine, and the veteran is him. He's in the Army. Says, disabled vet, broke my neck on an airborne jump.
Ooh.
Wow. Luckily, wasn't paralyzed. An infantry soldier at the 101st Airborne Air Assault Division. Ranger graduate, so that's impressive, who is passionate about bow hunting whitetails in the state of New York. Highly pressured areas, so he's getting in there. Hunts both private and public. Love your show. So thanks for submitting that, Matthew, and yeah, thank you. You're not paralyzed. That's sketchy.
Oof.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Cheers, man.
Thank you for your service. Yeah, cheers to you, brother.
Cheers to you.
Clank, clank, clank. All right, guys. Noises. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Scott Bakken back in studio from Dialed Archery. Hope you enjoy it.
I'm Chase Rolfson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Mutt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
It is the podcast of the bow hunters of the working class of the working class bow hunter podcast. Probably shorten that intro again. We're episode 500 and we're probably in the 560s at this point.
Something.
I would think. Catching up. Kurt Geyer here.
Eric Hammond.
Doug Schmidt.
Austin Chandler.
In the house, special guest, the Bakken, the Scott Bakken of Dialed Archery. What's up, buddy?
Not much.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for coming.
Glad to be here.
Finally made it.
Yeah, after how many canceled?
17 years.
This is probably the fourth reschedule.
Yeah, about halfway down, I thought about turning around and just being like...
You said, fuck it.
We can't do it. We can't do it.
Just, I don't know. Just, this drive isn't
it's
getting
okay.
any...
It's okay.
This drive isn't getting any better, and really, like, I feel like I'm just going to walk into a room of disappointment.
But you
like,
know what? You're
a
here.
Trailer.
You're
I
here.
Made it.
You're here.
I made it.
That's right.
And it was worth the drive.
Because, like, honestly, like, he pulled up and, like, do we have a bathroom? Like, yes, we have a bathroom.
I felt a
you
little...
Have a roof? Yeah, we have a roof. Though.
I don't want to say I was offended.
We were offended.
You can say you're offended. It's
we were
fine.
Offended 100%.
I wasn't offended, but I was like, wait, hold on. What did you think we had going on?
I don't know.
Because you were like, wow, this place is actually nice. And I'm like,
well, I mean, like my GPS, it's like you're here. And I'm like in this little
bitch town.
You can shithole town.
It's not a shithole.
And it's like,
we're proud of this damn town.
It's like all rundown buildings. And then I'm like, where is this place? And then there's the working class. Bow hunter sign with blacked out windows, and I'm like, yeah, this must be it.
You made it sound way worse than I feel. Like
I'm like, well, I guess we're here. Like, probably wake up in the morning, my truck will be on blocks with the wheels off it, but that's fine. But no, this place is awesome. Happen. This place is dope.
Thanks, it's man.
Very cool.
Backhanded compliment, but I appreciate it. We'll take it.
It's still a compliment.
Oh, 100%.
We'll take what we can get at this point. Well, everybody else on the internet hates us. Except
well, Scott,
for our
thanks
listeners.
For coming.
Thanks.
Hey,
I'm glad you showed up.
I appreciate the invite, the multiple invites.
And we glad you approve.
I'm glad I could finally make it down. Yeah, well, this is great.
You know, the way we like to kick off partnerships is really to have you on. And this is a little delayed, but we're here.
You know. It happened.
So, dude, a lot has changed since the last time you've been on a podcast. And either some people, I think people that follow really closely are like, wait, hold on a second. Or people who just know, they're just like, oh, yeah, it's Scott from Dialed.
Yeah.
But going into it, like we go way back with you.
Yeah.
You know, we've been good friends a long time. We've worked together with other brands. We've had a great relationship. And really, you got in and... Dialed is a new company on the scene, and I think from everything I've seen, people are pumped about it.
Yeah.
So I think first things first is kind of talk about what you can and how Dialed kind of birthed out of the old womb. Are you getting an echo?
I am.
Yep.
Yeah. Are you getting an echo, Cameron?
Just a tiny little bit.
I wonder what that
but
is.
But if people don't know who you are, tell us who you are, where you're from, how you're doing it.
So, well... I'm Scott.
I'm Scott.
Hey, Scott.
I enjoy long walks on the beach, beautiful sunsets.
Nice.
No, just to kind of like just backing up to like when we first met, and I do remember like the first podcast we ever recorded, which going back now, I mean, that's, you're probably talking like six years or something like that.
15?
It would have been 2015, summer of 2015.
Yeah, yeah. Something like that. But, So to go from there to like here, I mean, it's just awesome to like see this. I mean, this is like amazing. But yeah, so I mean, backing up, like, I guess long story short, like my whole life has been in the archery industry. It's literally all I've ever done. Like, I don't have anything outside of this. Like, you know, I've never done anything that didn't involve archery. So, you know, just progressing through the years, you know, my career just kind of advanced to eventually working for, you know, a company where we got introduced.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then from there, you know, honestly, Dialed is basically, it's a bastard child of COVID. I mean, you know, having all that time, and, you know, it was crazy times for everybody, but, you know, having all that time, like, by yourself, like, it just, you start thinking, right? Like,
yeah.
So what are things going to look like when all this bullshit ends? Like, what, you know, what's next, whatever. And, you know, at that point in my life, like, just personally, I was kind of just in a really, like, fucked up spot. Like, I didn't really know what's, like, where am I going to go from here? And so kind of behind the scenes, my current business partners, Taylor and Jordan, we worked together and became really good friends. And, you know, a lot of it, we just, like, during that COVID time, we just talked and mm-hmm. a lot. Because, I mean, what else? You can't see anybody. You can't do anything. Like,
yeah, right.
But so we just kind of talked, like, all these what ifs and yada, yada, yada. And, you know, I remember actually, I mean, going back to, like, some of the conversation we had tonight, like, the last time I saw you guys was the last time I podcasted with you guys. And that was that night I stayed at your house and you and I talked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
I remember. And,
which seems like yesterday.
It was 2 years ago.
It was 2 years ago.
Two falls ago, two hunting seasons
but
ago.
But it seems like yesterday.
Yeah, no, it was the weekend of the garage party.
Oh, no, yep. That's right, it was.
Yeah, so it's going on 2 years ago. 3 years, I think, yeah. Actually.
Yep.
And, no, anyways, yeah, 2 to 3 years, something like that. But, so long story short, I was just kind of at the point in my life where, you know, I was ready for something new. Mm-hmm. You know, the current job I was in, it was, you know, good job, but I needed more. Like, mm-hmm.
you know, you're ready for something new.
Well, it just, I was in kind of like this, like, dark, deep hole, and I didn't see a way out of it. And it's like, honestly, it's to the point where I'm either going to drink myself to death or I got to fucking change something.
Yeah.
And then talking with my two current business partners at the time, talking to you, like, just had all these, like, ideas. And finally, coming out of COVID, I had another buddy of mine that I just kind of relied on to talk to, and he's like, well, what do you want to do your life? And I was like, fuck, man, I have no clue. Like, but I, you know, it would be awesome. And I said, I'd really love to own my own archery company. And even, like, as a kid, so I got my start in the archery industry from my uncle who owned an archery company. And I grew up going to, like, the shows, and actually, like, the very first year ATA was ATA.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first trade show. So, like, I've been going to ATA since the very beginning. So I've only missed two ATAs, and that was this year and the year that COVID happened.
And we missed you.
Oh, shit.
We missed you.
I doubt that. Probably, it was probably a good thing I wasn't there.
We missed you. Okay, Scott, just accept it.
I guess I didn't know that, though, like, mm-hmm. the running, like, that's how you, I didn't know any of that. I don't think I did.
So that's literally since I was, like, 8 years old. Like, I started going to trade shows and all that stuff. So, but, so I was just like, you know, man, like, my dream was to eventually, like, own my uncle's company. Like, mm-hmm. that was my dream in my head.
Yeah.
And then he ended up selling it to his right-hand man, who's, like, a brother to me. So that was awesome. Like, super happy that happened. In my mind, it's still, like, in the family. But
right.
When that happened, it kind of, I was like, okay, like, I want to do that.
But can you say what company it was?
Pine Ridge Archery.
No shit?
Yeah. Yeah, that was my uncle's company.
Damn.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah,
so I didn't know that.
Yeah, so now Brian, who is the new owner, he was my uncle's right-hand man, like, since the beginning. So that's how I got my start. But both my brother and I, actually, my brother's in the archery industry as well.
Hmm.
But that's what kind of lit, like, the entrepreneur, like goal, mm-hmm. you know? But
since you were a kid, they kind of led you into this where you're at now.
Yeah, well, and it's crazy because, like, thinking back, I mean, I'm almost 40 now, but, you know, thinking back through, like, high school and college, and everybody's like, I want to be an accountant. I want to do this. I want to do this. I'm like, I want to sell archery shit.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody's like, loser.
Cameron, can you still hear through your headphones? We're doing kind of like, we're experimenting with some like live switcher stuff as we're doing this. So in my headphones, I have feedback, but I don't know if we do on the recording. So
I'm good on mine.
You're good?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I run mine super hot, so I'm hearing shit that probably a lot of you guys aren't hearing.
Yeah.
So anyway, sorry to interrupt. I just don't want to fuck up a whole good recording. You know,
it probably won't be that good.
Yeah. Well, in our eyes. Finally making it in the studio, so we got to make it good. Yeah. Come on now.
But anyway, so fast forward. Anyways, so, you know, we're coming on COVID and whatever. And so all these conversations are like playing in the back of my head. You know, I got Taylor and Jordan, and, you know, they have their own, you know, media marketing company, which is very successful, but yet they were kind of looking for, you know, new challenges and stuff. And it was just kind of like, it kind of was just like this perfect storm that was just brewing behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And this buddy of mine, he's like, well, what are you waiting for? I'm like, well, dude, like owning your own business, like you gotta be smart. Like you need money. I don't have any of that. Right. I'm just an average dude that like hunts, you know? And he's like, if you want it bad enough, you figure out a way. I'm like, all right. And so I was sitting there and I had this phone call with Taylor, and I was like, dude, what do you think about starting an archery company? He's like, I think we should do it. I'm like, for real? And he's like, yep. And so, sold my house, cashed in all my 401ks, like literally just bailed, like fucking just took,
pretty awesome,
38 years of my life,
bro,
packed it into a suitcase.
Congrats.
And I'm like, dude, I'm out, like deuces.
Congrats.
And then we started Dialed Archery. So
that's pretty awesome. Geez. Dude.
And you know, the crazy thing is,
hey Scott, must be nice.
Well,
how many times have you heard that?
Never. Not once.
Yeah, no,
but you'll hear it in like 5 years.
And that's the thing, you know, it's funny, but yet it's not funny. Yeah, you know, but
yeah, you really did it.
Yeah,
but come back for a full circle. And, like, how long have we tried getting you on the podcast, and how busy have you been?
Very, very. I mean, I have no life. Like,
exactly,
I have no life. But
must be nice.
I like that though. Like, I like being challenged every day. I like being busy. And like, I'll never forget.
Back into us, like, that's you.
And like, I remember when I called my parents, and I was like, hey. I got some big news. And of course they're like, who'd you knock up? And, you know, like, I'm like, no.
Sounds
no.
like Doug's parents.
Yeah. I was like, nah, I think we're good. But,
maybe.
I was like, so I'm quitting my job and I'm starting a company. And my mom's like, you're doing what? My dad's like, fuck yeah. Like, good for you, you know? And my mom's like, you're doing what? Like, realize like it's probably going to fail. Like, you know, all this stuff.
She's worried for it.
You know, mom being mom, you know, typical mom, like worrying and whatever. But yeah. So, I mean, we're coming up on 2 years ago, like that all like was going on. And so, the three of us, you know, we come together, we're like, we're going to do this, but we have no clue what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
No clue. Like, we know, like, all of our backgrounds, like, we're just, like, hardcore hunters that like really, really good quality shit, like, technical stuff. Like, we like that type of gear, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, honestly, we even threw out the idea of just, like, starting a t-shirt company. Like, we had no clue.
Why not?
Well, it's just, we all we knew was we wanted an archery company. We wanted something in the archery space. So we started just brainstorming, like, what's going to be our first product? Like, is it going to be a rest, a release? Is it going to be something that's never been designed before? Like, whatever. So we started these conversations, and it's like, well, we need an engineer, because none of us are engineers. Like, we have two marketing whizzes and a sales guy that barely graduated college. So
didn't contact Doug, did you?
I did, actually. I did actually contact Doug. I was like, hey, you're an art engineer, aren't you? And he's like, yeah, kind of. And
I'm like, yeah, kind of.
I'm like, all right, well.
I was like, what are you looking for?
Exactly. Yeah. And so we get introduced to our one.
That's really funny.
Doug's out.
Yeah, literally. But that was like the first person I thought of, because it's like, all right, go through your Rolodex of contacts. Like,
right.
Who do we know that are engineers? And I'm like, well, I know a bunch of engineers, but they're like, you know, like mechanical engineers, like big, well, that's big the thing. Stuff.
When you think of something, you're like, okay, I know what I want, but I need someone to put that on paper what I want. So you got to think of
you have these ideas in your head, but then how do I communicate this to somebody that can put it into CAD, right?
Right.
And it's also like, to give credit to good engineers, and there's good and bad in every career field. Some engineers, you can't relay information on like...
Because they're idiots.
On an our brain level.
Right.
And that's important. Like, that's what makes a good engineer.
Well, and it's... And I will say, no offense, Doug, but we have like two of the best engineers, like ever, because
that hurt.
They are,
to teach his own.
For the record, we're sitting here giving Doug shit. Doug, out of the working class crew, I mean, and I don't consider working class being like because you work a shitty job; it's your attitude. But Doug's the only one with like a legit degree that has like a really, really good job.
And I mean, look what he's doing now.
Well,
he works for the government also.
We got a welder, an electrician, a farmer, and a glorified combine mechanic is pretty much our freaking roster. You know?
So somewhere in that recipe is like a multi-million dollar idea. Like somewhere in that recipe. You just got to figure it out. But
for sure.
So, yeah, anyways, so we, hey.
We'll okay, talk. Let's let the guy get it out.
We'll talk. But, yeah, so anyway, so we developed the core team, and then, we meet our first engineer, TJ Eads, who he's been in the archery space, has done some work for some other archery companies and stuff. And right from the get-go, it was like a natural fit. Mm-hmm. And it was actually, like, thinking back now, it was, like, very scary how fast everything was coming together. Like, this was supposed to just kind of be, like a think tank. Like, let's just see where this goes, mm-hmm. you know? And I literally had, like, every intention of just, like I was already out. Like, at that point, I had been in the archery industry for almost, like, 23 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was ready just to walk away, just leave it all and just go do whatever. Like, you know, I really didn't have a backup plan. It was just...
Were you scared?
Terrified. Yeah, honest to God, terrified. But at the same time, you know, again, I was just kind of at the point where I'm like, since I was 13, I've worked. Like,
right.
I was not that kid that really got to enjoy like spring breaks or summer breaks or any of that stuff because I always worked.
Hey. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
shout out.
So, I was scared, but at the same time, I was like, you know, if this doesn't work, like I'll figure it out. Like I'm getting older, but yet I'm young enough to where,
but there's a thousand things you can fall back on.
Well, I'll go work at Quick Trip or something. You know what I mean? That's like, I'm not afraid to work. There's
always,
you know?
You can always, you're always going to make ends meet.
I'll figure it out. Yeah, so, for sure. But it was very obvious, like right out of the gates, that this team we were forming, like this was like meant to happen. And that sounds kind of like cliche and kind of like dramatic, but that feeling was, I've never felt that before, like mm-hmm. throughout my entire career. Like
that gives you that next push.
Well, it gave us like confidence, you know, like it felt like, okay, after all this time, this is like, this is why we all met, right? This is why we all came together. So we meet TJ, we bring him on board, we start talking. And again, we still don't know what we're going to do. Like we're spitballing all these ideas, yada, yada, yada. And given my previous employment, you know, actually the last thing I wanted to do was a site.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't have the stomach for it. Didn't really want to go down that path, but every time we talked, it always came back to like looking at the industry and all the site companies out there, which there are a lot of really good ones. And a lot of them, you know, they put out a really good product, but on the surface, they're very like cookie cutter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they all operate the same thing. They all offer the same features, the same benefits, all this stuff. So it's just like every time we talked, it came back to like, well, if we did a site, we could do this. And again, like we're tapping into like all of our backgrounds, like all of our experiences. And so finally it was just kind of like, all right, well, you know, hell with it. Let's just see what we can come up with. And it was like 2 days later, and it was like late. TJ presented us with like an idea board of like some just designs that he had. And it was kind of, it was like the initial, like, what is this site going to look like? And he pulled all these images from like all different places, like all different industries, products, all the stuff. And we literally were just like, we like that look. We like that look. We like that look. We like that look. Like, that looks cool. Like, that'd be cool if you could do that, whatever. He's like, all right. He's like, I think I got something I can work with or whatever. And then 2 weeks later, he sent us a CAD drawing, and it was what is now currently the Arxos. Like that.
Really?
Like that.
Wow.
Damn. And we are all just like, holy shit.
That would have taken 4 weeks.
And we're like, well, there's no way that works. You know, like you look at the Arxos, and, you know, it's got a lot of like proprietary features, like stuff that's never been done before. And the whole time we're like going through this, we're like, okay, we're thinking of this, but how is it that nobody else has ever done this? Like, we're not that smart.
Kind of like, what's wrong with it?
Yeah.
Right. Like, well, and that's the thing.
There's too, a reason why this has never been done before, right?
It works good on paper, but can you make this into a physical product?
Yeah, that's a scary
exactly.
thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
So then TJ presents us with this drawing, and it's like, holy shit, like that, it looks awesome. And then we start dialing into each part and all this stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of behind the scenes, you know, stuff that happened. But, and then, yeah, now this is where we're at. Like, it came to fruition, and we actually could build it. And then, you know, we launched, it was like November 15th or 16th of 2021 with like the official
right in the middle of COVID.
No, so this was like coming out of COVID.
Just after, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The fall after COVID. And, you know, we timed it to launch like right when all the new bow companies are like launching their new bow and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, I'll never forget, I was sitting in my parents' basement because I was homeless, and I had my computer on, and I remember watching the website go live and being like, all right, it's out. Like,
it's all or nothing.
It's here we go. And the website looked awesome. Taylor designed the whole thing. I mean, everything was like on point.
Mm-hmm.
And then literally within like the first hour, we had like 100 orders.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And champagne ready.
And well, I freaked out. I texted Taylor. I'm like, dude, like somebody hacked our website. Like, what's going on with this? He's like, no, dude. He's like, these are legit orders. And I'm like, no fucking way. And then it just kept going. And next thing you know, it's like 1 month goes by, 2 months goes by, 3 months goes by, and the order tally. And these are all just pre-orders, right? Right. Like, these are just people buying sites that aren't even made yet.
And they've never seen them, never handled them, nothing.
Nope. No. And so that was when we're like, holy shit. Like, we might be onto something here. And then we get into the springtime. And then that's when we actually started getting to like the manufacturing, like nuts and bolts. And this whole time, you know, we're all just like psyched. I mean, we are like excited, optimistic. Like, I mean, we're on cloud nine.
Yep.
And in that time frame, you know, that was when all the supply chain issues were happening, and like all these companies were dealing with it. And like all of us being in the industry, we heard it from everybody, and we're just kind of like, the fuck, like we're good, you know, like, I don't know what you guys are doing, but you
it's
know,
like, yeah, you order a stack of aluminum, it might get there in a week or 3 months.
Yeah. I mean, like life was good. And
it's
then,
like aero companies weren't able to get carbon.
Nobody,
and all sorts of
nobody.
Shit.
I mean,
we all know it was COVID.
Everyone here in this room has dealt with it. It was either you got it in a week or 6 months.
But I feel like a lot of consumers understand that.
Or, yeah, 100%. Yeah, and so, you know, looking back, like, you know, when we decided to do Dialed, we literally. And I remember Taylor and I talking about it like every day. We're like, what would cause Dialed to fail? Like, what are we missing here? And, you know, most companies, like they always say like 999 companies out of 1,000 fail, but it isn't because it was a bad product or bad ownership or whatever. It was bad timing.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys nailed it. While we felt at that time, the industry was ready for a new site. Like, it was ready to be shook up. Like, and you know, this is jumping way ahead, but I've always felt, again, growing up in the industry, that, you know, if you look at the trend of the industry, it's all these private equity companies coming in, buying up like the mom and pop shops, like brands that we all grew up with, you know, and they were all started in the garage. So that was the trend. And we're like, the industry is ready for something new, something different. So timing couldn't be perfect, more perfect for us to start a new company. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like money was cheap. So if we needed to borrow money, and it didn't cost us anything, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, again, the timing of the industry was great, but as far as a sourcing time frame, it was the absolute worst time. But, you know, again, going into the springtime, everything was good. Like, you know, we were prototyping, like we were getting materials, like everything was just moving, and, you know, it was developing and progressing.
It was flawless.
I mean, it literally, like, I mean, not knock on wood, like we were like, this is so easy. You know, it was just smooth sailing.
Yeah.
And then we hit summertime and it was like dialed archery meet reality, like a brick fucking wall. Like
you hit that lull.
All of a sudden we hit the supply chain issues.
Yep.
And at the worst time, because we are already on the road going to events, like promoting the product. And even like, I remember like the very first like Total Archer Challenge we went to, which was Pennsylvania. And we had such high expectations, and I rolled in there with one sight. That's all I had. The only parts that we could pull together was to make one sight, and it was garbage. I mean, like, I still have like my one of my bows has the OG version one dialed Arxos on it.
Yeah.
And I look at that, I'm like, I can't believe I ever showed anybody that sight. I mean, it is compared to now, but at the time, we're like, this is badass, right?
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
But so then we go through all these supply chain issues through the summer, and the only way to combat those issues was with money. And again, we're funding this whole thing. Three guys.
Out of your pocket.
Yep. Our own pocket. Like, again, like I sold my house, cashed in all my 401ks, my savings account, all that. We just put it all into the company. And so, you know, like molds, for example. Couldn't get steel to make molds. So we paid more money, expedite the process, go overseas, whatever we have to do to get this shit going. And then we're running out of money. And it's like, we haven't even.
Well, yeah, because you got molds and then all of a sudden you got to machine the mold.
And then it's 10 to 12 weeks to make the molds. And
yeah.
So anyways, it's now we're rolling.
Process on top of the molds, on top of the molds.
Yeah. So now we're going into June, and through this whole time frame, we're still getting orders, but we haven't shipped a single product.
Oh, stressful, man.
Dude, I was literally like, I literally like saw my life just like ending. I'm like, I don't know. But like my biggest fear in life is like disappointing people. Like, like everybody has like fears of death, fears of whatever. Like my fear is disappointing people. And here we have thousands of people that we are going to disappoint. And
they're counting on you.
I could not like stomach that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, again, going back to our team, like the tenacity of our team is like none like I've ever seen. So we just fought through it, and now we're getting into August and we still don't have parts. And I remember Taylor and I, like, things were pretty hot. Like, we're like, what the fuck do we do? You know, like Taylor had to take a second mortgage on his house, you know, like we are all in on this thing, and we very easily could have just given up, walked away.
Yeah.
Whatever. But, you know, there was that little shining light, and, you know, all it took was like, you know, a few people that had pre-ordered would email us and be like, hey, we know you guys are just starting up, just to let you know, like, we got your back, like, we support you guys, like, and it, that would just keep us trucking.
That's
like,
very cool.
That's awesome. And that's all, then that's kind of the thing you need. Like, okay, you might not get your site in 6 months, but this guy's like, hey, no matter what happens, if I get in 6 months or 8 months, I'm back.
And but also on the contrary, a lot of people are fucking dicks. Yeah.
Well, you know what's crazy?
And entitled a little.
You know what's crazy is going through that pre-order process, there was more patience then than now.
Oh, really?
People waiting like 8 months for a site, they were like, I don't care if I don't get it till the fall. Like, just make it right. Like, don't release a product until it's right. And we never planned on... Like, if it was not a product that we would use, we weren't gonna launch it.
Yeah,
that's
awesome. But like now, it's like there's people where they place an order and if they don't see it in 3 days, they're like, where's my sight? You know, yeah. Where there was people that went 10 months, you know, but
right.
So anyways, so we get into August and we're finally getting parts and now reality sets in and it's like, here's our hole. We're at the bottom of it. How the fuck do we get out of this?
Do we
and
climb ourselves out?
It's three guys building sites and we have to build thousands of them. And oh, shit. Yeah, and we're still like, we're learning on the fly, like parts aren't fitting. Like I remember the first day we built sites, we were in the shop for almost 16 hours and we built 10 sites.
Oh, just kind of learning the process and
trying to figure it out.
Stuff wasn't going together, parts weren't fitting, tolerances were off, all this stuff. So it was literally like the learning curve was very quick and very short. And then September hit, we found a rhythm. And then next thing you know, by October 1st, we're dug out of the hole. And then it's smooth sailing.
That's pretty quick considering.
It was.
Considering what you.
Taylor and I, it was funny. Like we talk about it like all the time about, you know, that those August days when we'd be at the shop and it was like hot as shit in there. You know, tension was high. You know, we'd be yelling at each other and stuff. And it was like, how did we make it out of that?
You know?
And it's just.
Well, you did.
We did. And, you know, we're still, you know, we're going into year two, but now, like where we sit compared to where we were those last 4 months, it's like we look back on those days and we laugh.
You laugh about it.
You know, it's like.
Oh, dude, you almost like have to go through that stuff, like no matter with what you do. Because if it was just like perfect and all that, you'd almost feel like
the easy button.
Easy button.
If it's easy peasy, hey, us three right here wouldn't be here right now.
Oh, well, you can't. Like, things are second better in the end if it sucks.
Well, I do think like. You have to go through that suck. Like that's a very important like phase in the business life cycle or like being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Like I do not think like, I think anybody can be an entrepreneur. Like it's not that hard to start a business, right?
It's also easy to say you're an entrepreneur, but.
Well, but anybody can be, you know, like anybody can like, and like COVID proved it. Like, I mean, you can start up a website for $20 and sell t-shirts, hats, whatever. Like, it's not that hard, but going through that suck, like, testing your mental, like, fortitude and, like, how dedicated are you? And, like, how willing are you to, like, sacrifice everything and, like, go through those tough times? Like, that literally sets the whole, like, framework for the company going forward.
Oh, 100%.
So, and like, we're still dealing. I mean, every day, like we're still learning, we're still battling issues, you know, like that'll never end. Mm-hmm. But without those really, really tough times, we wouldn't be like the company that we are now. Right, and now. Like now, I mean, we're more, I mean, like Dialed is not a one hit wonder. Like Dialed is like, we're here for the long game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the long story of like how Dial got to where we are today.
I love it. I do love the build up and as to kind of clarify, let's save this conversation for the end. I want to talk about like the relationship of WCB and Dialed. But I want to just focus on Dialed for now. I was going to skip ahead a little bit, but I want to wait. This doesn't fit here. What, when you guys design the site, the Arxos, and I got it on the monitor, by the way, your guys' website is fucking amazing.
Killing it.
Like it just does
slicker than shit.
By the way, congratulations on 100% the best looking site ever designed in the game. Like without a doubt, anybody can battle me on that. I'll fight you over it. It's the best looking site there is.
Yeah.
Well, there's no question.
That was my one stipulation when we decided we were going to do a site. I said, I had an idea. Well, I mean, I had a lot of ideas, but I said, we are not going to be another site company. Like, it is not going to be a cookie cutter site. Like, we are not going to look like anybody else. Like, it has got to be different, unique.
It's sexy, dude.
And we did not design the Arxos for, like, the masses. It was a very niche market we went after. It was guys like us that like new, techie, like... We literally wanted to build this thing and have people look at us and be like, what the hell is that thing? And that's been the response, and that's the exact response that we've wanted.
100%.
Like, it is not your average site.
Well, you have to grab it and look at it. Like, you got to pick it up.
Yep. Yeah.
It almost doesn't look real. Marketing.
Go ahead, man.
I'm sorry. No, I've been talking this whole time.
I was just going to say kudos on the marketing, too, because for the last 2 years, I've seen Dialed everywhere. So you guys have knocked it out of the park.
That's all Taylor and Jordan. Yep. And that's, again, like, when we all came together. Like, you look at the team, and all of us have our...
saying it.
Like, well, saying it, but we all have, like, our... like, we're all good at different things.
You have your role, your job, yeah.
I don't know, I'm a marketing major, but marketing is not my thing. Like, but Taylor and Jordan, that's what they do. So, it just, again, like, when you look back, like... everybody came together for a reason. Like, there's a reason why we all have our specialties, and it all ended up in one spot. And that's, I mean, everything you see, like, on the website, like, social media, like, the email blast, that is all those guys.
I'm
like,
picking it, man. It's all clean.
I mean, it is. And, you know, when we designed the Arxos at that time, you know, that was when, like, Hoyt had just launched, like, their Picatinny mount. Matthews was coming out with the Bridgelock system. And... we literally wanted this site to look like when you mounted it to your bow, it was like all molded at one time.
An extension of it.
Like,
yeah.
It's part of the bow.
Everything. And like, if you look at our slogan, it's designed on purpose. Like, every part of that site, there's a reason for it. And, you know, again, there's a lot of really, really good sites out there, but when you look at them, you're like, there's a lot going on here. And, you know, again, like, they have their way of designing stuff, like, whatever, but... you know, when our site, we wanted it to be very functional, very like clean. And when you pick it up, it's not like, you know, what am I supposed to touch and what am I not supposed to touch? So on the Arxos, any exposed hardware that you see, you're meant to adjust it. If you're not meant to adjust it, we hit it. You don't need to mess with it. Don't worry about it.
Badass.
Out of sight, out of mind. But we also want it to be very recognizable. And again, that goes back to like that drawing board thing I was talking about that TJ presented us. That's how, like, the most dominant feature of the Arxos is the void dial. Like, so again,
when you see that site, you know, it's a dial site.
And that was the main objective of that void dial was being able to recognize it right away.
Yeah.
So, like, in the past, when I would go to archery shoots, like my right hand man at the time, we used to pay. They were actually drinking games, but we would go to shoots, and every time we saw a site, we'd be like, oh, hey, that's our site. Like, take a drink. And like, we could dictate, like, that's a black gold, that's CBE, that's a spot hog, whatever. Cause we're in that game. Like, we know those.
Yeah, you're looking closer.
99% of the people, like, they don't remember what site they're shooting.
No,
like,
absolutely not.
They don't, like, they focus on the bow, the arrow, the broadhead, all that stuff. So, but when you see our site, you're like, there's that big donut hole, like that's dialed, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's also functionality
to it. The big homer.
Yeah.
What does your site have that makes it stand out from other sites? Like, if you can just go through like some of the features, like right off the rip, someone goes to dialarchery.com, like, I'm going to order me a dial now because Scott sounds like he's a pretty man and I like working class bow hunter and I want to support what they're doing.
And he's
like,
beautiful.
Like, he's a beautiful man. So what does your site offer and what can someone expect to do when they order a dialed?
So, I mean, that at the end of the day, like, a site's a site, right? Like, yep. It's an aiming tool, but you know, with ours, it is different. And again, like I said, it was built on purpose, and that purpose is to make you a better and more confident shooter. So like, I mean, obviously the most recognizable feature is the void dial system, right? So having that big hole in the center, it's easy branding, but because we made that oversized dial and it goes through the frame rather than being an external dial, now all the gears are internal. So there's no exposed gears. So everything's protected. So like, you don't have to worry about dust, dirt, sticks, anything getting caught up in your gears. It's all protected. But then because it goes through the center of the frame, now we can take your yardage tape, which is normally on the outside, and we can put it on the inside, which for the Picatinny rails, the bridge lock systems, or just like quiver mounting issues, now it's on the inside of your riser.
That's what I chose, the inside.
I did too.
Yep. Also. what, 95% of our sales have been inside. Like,
really?
The only advantage to having your sight tape on the outside is that it does give you a little bit more meat to grab onto with the dial because it sticks out. But other than that, there's no, it should be on the inside.
Yeah.
But so that was like the frame of the sight. And then moving forward, you know, one of my big things going to different archery shoots and stuff is, you know, your setup dictates like your yardage tape, right? Like, so even though we're all very like similar in stature, like same height, same, you know, wingspan, all that stuff, we all shoot different setups, right? So our yardage tapes are all different and all that stuff. But so I would go to all these shoots and I would see particularly like, you know, like people that shot really, really heavy arrows, which I shoot really heavy arrows, or short draw lengths, low poundage, whatever, you were handicapped. You know, like even though you physically and capability wise, you could shoot further, you couldn't.
You run out of tape.
Your sight housing would, you'd run out of clearance, right? Between your sight housing and your fletching. So that's where we came up with the angled elevation rail. Never been done before. And that was that one feature. It's like, why hasn't this been done before?
Elevation rail is a spot that your housing moves up and down on, like the frame, right?
So imagine if you had a dovetail bar or a large rod with with a scope housing attached to the end, and you had it fully extended all the way from your bow, right? And you shot it 20 yards, and every shot you slowly moved that rod closer to the bow, you'd see your arrows impacting higher. So the closer your scope housing gets to your riser, the higher your impact. So that's how you gain range, right? So how do we replicate that with an adjustable sight? You have to angle the rail, but there's a range where you don't angle it enough and you don't see any effect on range. But then there's also the opposite of that, where if you angle it too much, now you're getting kicked out of your scope and peep alignment,
your sight,
right? So it doesn't work. So trying to find that perfect angle. So ours is roughly like it's at about a 20 degree angle. So from the very top position to the bottom of the rail, it's about 3/4 inch difference, which makes a huge difference downrange, but it does not affect your peep alignment at all.
Wow.
So
that's how we extend your range. So that's like part of our marketing is, we can extend your range, which, full disclosure, we don't promote that for hunting, but, you know, with...
For fun.
Well, or, you know, target. Just if you go to a lot of the archer shoots now, like 40 yards, which was like a long distance shot back in the day, that's a chip shot now.
Yeah,
like,
that's what you start at.
If you go to like the mountain archery festivals or the Total Archer Challenge or whatever, like most of those targets don't even start till 90.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like they go to like 140 and it's a bummer, you know? Like,
yeah.
And because, you know, like you can, I know I can like hit a target at 100, but my sight won't let me go that far. Well, now it will.
So what are people who aren't shooting like a dial and they just have whatever and they're, or they're handicapped because they shoot like insanely heavy arrows and a short draw or whatever. What do they do at those shoots? They just don't shoot them?
No, to Kentucky windage it. Just,
hope for the best.
Pull and pray.
but do you feel
Jesus, take the wheel.
Like that could like verify, like from you, like shooting a verifier, you know,
doesn't make a difference.
It doesn't make like
that's just magnification
with the lenses and everything.
Doesn't make a difference.
No. Doesn't make a difference
because that's like how you see it versus like what's physically there.
But that's what I'm saying. Like if you see it here, but like now instead of going up and down, you're kind of moving it towards you.
It might clarify it a little bit better. It's such a minimal like adjustment here versus out there.
Right.
So by your face.
Yep.
Don't even notice it. Like you can crank that thing all the way to the top, all the way to the bottom. It doesn't matter. Like it's the same, but downrange, it makes huge, you know, difference. So I would say are two like pinnacle, like proprietary features.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get into like the windage, we have micro macro windage, which everybody else has. But then when you get into our scope housing, which we call a mag, we don't use the term housing. We call it a mag because it's interchangeable.
Mm.
But if you look at the face of it, you know, again, it was kind of about like, how can we extend your range type of like idea, and every other sight. And it's been for decades. And I can remember going back to like when I was 14 working an archery shop, like I mean, you're talking 20 something years. Every single site has had the level in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Every single site. And so when we started talking about, like, okay, are we going to have a single pin? Like, what's our first introductory, like, mag going to look like? We're like, well, what if we did a dual pin on a single post? And, okay, then it was like, well, what's that gap going to be? And so we started going through that argument, and Taylor was actually the one who's like, well, what if we got rid of the level? Then we could drop that second pin down lower. So now you can cover more distance, because really from a hunting perspective, one pin, I mean, you can cover from 20 to 40 yards with one pin. Like, right. If you know your setup, you know your hold over, your hold under, yep. Whatever. So having a 20 to 35 is really not that efficient. Like, it's kind of whatever. But the biggest advantage to having the level in the top is if you're shooting longer distance, and you're aiming, and a lot of people don't pay attention to their level, which is a huge mistake. Like, if you're not looking at your level, like, you're not shooting the best you can. But the problem is when you're on target and you look at your level, so it kind of goes back to like if anybody that's ever shot like handguns or shotguns or whatever, like, you always aim with your eyes, not with the sight, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so wherever your eyes look, that's where the gun would point. So when you're aiming and you look down to look at your level, where are your hands going to go?
Down,
right? Mm-hmm. So next thing you know, you're below the target. Yep. And now you have to come up on the target, which is fighting gravity. So now you're wasting time, you're wasting energy, where when you put the level on the top, one, it's more in your peripheral vision. So you don't even have to, like, really look at the level. Like, as you're looking at the target, you can see the level in your peripheral. But two, if you do take your eye off the target to look at the level, now you're looking up. So yeah. Your hands will go up, and now you're just going to float down onto target.
Which is more natural anyway.
It's you're not expending any energy.
Makes sense.
Mm.
But then it also gave us more retail space on the pin to drop our second pin down lower. So now for most people, we have like a 20 and a 50 gap. So now from 20 to 50, you're covering those ranges without even touching your dial.
Mm-hmm.
So in most hunting scenarios, you're covered.
Yeah. That's awesome, dude.
Then if you did want to, let's say, like, you know, you max out at, let's say you max out at 100 with your top pin, and there's a target at like 120 or something like that, you still have your bottom pin to aim with.
Mm.
So you're not out of the game.
Yeah,
like, you're still shooting.
Any issues, you can use that bottom one to get out there.
It's right.
Cool. It's not everything.
And then now, like, with the introductory of our Mag 3V, which is a three pin on a single post, you do get that 20, 35, like 50 ish,
right?
Yeah,
spread. So you do kind of cover all those ranges.
I think mine came out like on the dot on my Envision was like 20 and 50, like on the dot.
That's what I mean. Well, on, I set the on pin, average 20. On yeah. average, that's about what it is.
Unless you're shooting like an insanely heavy or light arrow. Or,
yeah, I mean it's different for everybody, but I mean most.
That's what you guys are going after.
I'm shooting a 70 pound bow this year. I didn't
run with the big boys.
Normally run 65. Now, I don't know how big a difference it'll make.
Letting the big dog eat.
Yeah, you know, I figured it was time to, you know, let that right arm flex a little.
Found a new love for needles.
Yeah, you know. You know me. You know me, the pinnacle of fitness and physique. It's your boy, Kurt.
You'll like it if you start shooting a heavier arrow. That poundage will come in handy.
Yeah I think does. I want to. So
yeah. And honestly, from like a drawing, like actual like poundage felt from like 65 to 70, there's no difference.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd really expect one, but no, man, I love the dialed sight. We're proud of you.
I do too.
And it's exciting. And not to mention you guys,
that's off to you guys.
The color appreciate options it. You guys offer right off the rip is damn impressive. I
mean, that alone's pretty.
So that was the other big thing was, you know, just again, doing something totally different is offering the customization part. So when you're on the website, you'll see you get four different frame color options. So you get black, which is, you know, just standard black. And then you get sage, earth, and then smoke. So regardless of what brand bow you're shooting or what color scheme they have, chances are we do have a frame that'll match the color. And again, it just goes back to like just that integrated, making everything look like it was made out of like one piece. But then on the dial, the void dial side, you get 13 different colors. So whatever color tickles your fancy, we got it.
tickles her pickle.
Black on black is just such a good look, though.
Black even. Is.
It's sharp. It's sharp. I there's like really, it. And like we get asked all the time, like, what's your favorite like color combo? They're all good.
They are.
Just like, can't go wrong.
Doug, you rocked the purple.
The purple.
Yeah.
Purple Nurple.
The Purple Nurple.
Yeah.
So Doug's made by Scott Bakken.
I did make Doug's.
With love.
Ooh.
I did make Doug's.
Doug's bow this year, what are we calling it? Blue balls?
I do like blue balls a lot.
It's all just, it's a badass.
Not
blue.
Intentionally. But.
Dude, hey, you'll have that.
You'll have that.
The blue void dial would look good in that baby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that looks
sick. Hey, I might know a guy that can hook you up with a new
Oh, you do?
New dial, yeah.
Oh, awesome.
You figured that out, huh? eBay? Yeah. Is that what you said?
eBay.
Craigslist. Find it on there.
Oh, right there. That's the combo right there.
That is sweet. Black on blue. No, dude. I think it's awesome. It fits. It has its own look. You guys are kick ass, man. We're proud to be a part of this.
Yeah.
Use code working class for free shipping.
Like
that plug. Shameless a little bit, but
yep.
But I'll take it. Cool thing about it. It's like we had a business relationship and a friendship. You know, there is a difference, and it was like a real friendship from the rip. And when you guys started Dialed, like out of like respect, legit, you didn't say shit to us. Like we knew about it, we kind of talked about it, but like it was just like, oh, he's killing it. That's great.
Well, dude, it was one of those things where, you know, again, when like we officially decided this is what we're gonna do. And we actually developed the product before we even knew what we were going to call the company. Like, you know, we tried to get our names and initials to work, but it just nothing worked. And I was actually at a shoot, and I kept hearing everybody's like, "Are you dialed? Are you dialed? Are you dialed in? Are you dialed in?" And then it didn't really like click in my head, but I was just like, you know, geez, nobody ever says like they're sighted in anymore,
right?
And then we get back and like Taylor's like, "Hey, we got the name for the company." I'm like, "Oh, okay. Well, what's it called?" And they're like, "Dialed In Archery." I'm like, "No fucking shit." Like, well, and then we change it to Dialed. But yeah, it just, you know, again, it's just, and even just like sitting here, it's just like looking like throughout the last, whatever, like 2 years, you know, again, going back to like our relationship, you know, which started off as a business relationship that turned into like a friendship. But you know, when we started this, we did keep it very like tight-lipped, because we really, I mean, we just didn't know, you know. And like the last thing you want to do is just like go and, you know, like spreading the word, doing all this stuff, and then not delivering, and then you just look like an asshole.
Yeah.
And so we did like keep it very, very tight-lipped. Like we told our families, we told, you know, people that we could like help us, you know, develop and stuff. And then I remember when you two were in the truck together and you called me, and I don't forget where you're heading to a trade show, and you're like, "Yeah, so what's Dialed Archery?"
"Hey guys, sorry to interrupt. Got to pay the bills.
Hope you're having a good time.
Hope you're having a good time and having a lot of fun out there." The podcast brought to you by Huntworth, huntworthgear.com. This week we are talking the Saskatoon vest. It's heat boosted up, baby. So I like the vest because if it's not going to be like super, super cold, you can wear a hoodie under it and rock that vest over it.
Hey, it's time to be a vest guy.
I'm new to the vest.
Yeah, I am too.
It feels nice, right?
I always used to make fun of people who wore vests, except for Larry McCoy. I'd be like, what, your body's cold, but your arms are warm?
It's a thing.
Like, is that what you're doing? I get it though for bow hunting.
As a bow hunter, it's the move. I've never worn one until this year. Uh-huh. You wear your jacket in, and then at the end of the hunt, you throw that vest on the last hour. It's money.
It is. Mm. It actually is the move. I did that elk hunting, and I was like, man, I hated on vests for years, and now I'm a vest man.
I'm a vest guy.
Vest guy or gal?
Or gal. Yeah, you can be a vest gal.
Get in there.
Yeah, get in there. You know, you got cold boobs. Now you don't. You got a
heat. You got warm boobs.
Saskatoon vest from Huntworth. Then you use code WCB.
You're welcome.
15. Save yourself some money. Yeah, you're welcome. And it's even better if you get that baby in Tarnin, because nobody, you just see your arms and your neck.
Yeah.
You just have a head floating around with arms.
Hide your boobies.
Okay. All right. Yep. You're hiding. Podcast also brought to you by NovixOutdoors.com. Novix tree stands made in America. Quick roundtable, full-length sticks or mini sticks?
Eric.
Full-length, double-step.
Doug.
Same. Sorry.
Austin.
I've got both, but my favorite is the mini double.
You like the mini doubles?
I do like the mini double.
I'm a double guy.
Yeah, but your legs are longer than shit.
I can get up there with four mini.
Yeah, that's true. I like them all. I got to go with like the traditional single step climbing sticks.
Yeah, but double, like.
Double's nice, but I just like the
messing around.
The packability of the classic sticks.
All right.
But when you got the doubles in there, you're thankful you got them.
Think about this too. Instead of sometimes when I want to get light, I won't bring the platform in and I'll rock the doubles out of my saddle and just stand on the top step.
Ooh, gangsters.
Mm. Light.
Okay.
Whoa.
Double full leg stick, actually. Okay, I'm a fan. You can use code WCB10 to save yourself some money at novixoutdoors.com. Tell them we sent you. Should we make our Japanese spy balloon plug? I don't even know where. Was it Japanese or Chinese?
I think you went with Japan the last time. Let's go with China.
You
this
know
time.
What? Fuck them. It's not America.
You're right.
Is that bad?
No.
No.
They sent it over here. Hey,
listen, fuck around and find out. Joe Biden had to calculate whether to shoot it down. It just took a minute, all right? We got it. Victory Archery, we're talking about hunting arrows. We talked specific hunting arrows last week. This week we're talking spine calculator. You don't know what arrow to shoot or which one to shoot of whatever model. Go to the spine calculator, type in the type of bow, your IBO speed, draw weight, point weight, insert weight, shaft length, all wrap weight, fletch weight, knock weight, bushing weight, all that stuff, and it'll give you a suggested spine. I don't know if any other arrow companies do that shit, but it's pretty awesome with Victory Archery.
That's impressive
to do that. So think about Victory. I think they are the carbon arrow experts.
Yeah, they are. Oh, yeah. For sure.
I even think they say that. What the heck? And Spy Point trail cameras, the Flex S is on its way with the solar panel on top, or just the Flex. I think it's the cell cam for boomers.
Boomers.
You're old. You can't figure shit out. Just hit the button. Put lithium batteries on.
Turn her on.
You'll be fine. Check them out. SpyPoint.com. And Doug, what are we talking next?
Oh, got to get rid of that browser history.
Revolving deals on camelfire.com. Right now, there's 5 hours left on these deals, and then new deals reload. Shit. Discounts vary. I've seen them 20 to 60 plus percent off. And there's something different every day. They have theme days,
mm-hmm.
Clothing to camping gear to really anything you want for hunting.
Turkey decoys.
Yeah, turkey decoys, calls, all sorts of stuff. Check them out, camelfire.com. And sorry for burning up your sweet podcast time.
We're sorry.
We love you.
We love you. Thank you. We're going to let you get back to it.
Just finish your beer and get back to it.
Nothing.
and that's the thing. Like when you left the company, we were before, like you kind of went off on your own. Like let him do his thing.
I did. I just
and we
I
called you like, hey, so what's next? He's like, I got something in the making, and we obviously already seen Dialed because it was already out.
Mm-hmm.
I got something in the making. We kind of put two and two together, you know, but we didn't.
It was respectful.
We put two and two together, but we didn't put two and two together.
You know, going back to like where I was like in my personal life, like I was so just, like I said, I was ready just to say goodbye to the industry.
Right.
And so when Dialed was like brewing in the background, like, yeah, I left, I moved out to Wyoming and I just left.
You're saying fuck it.
I didn't tell anybody.
You're saying fuck it.
Well, remember we talked.
Zero goodbyes. I was just like, I'm out. And I was out there for 5 months. And it was honestly the best thing I have ever done. Because it completely just like separated like all those feelings I was having and like everything I was going through. And then when I came back, I was like fully charged and ready.
Yeah. Hey, you needed that. You need to hit that reset button.
Scott, yeah. Remember that? I talked to you when you were guided in Wyoming and I was hunting mule. I was getting ready to go hunt mule deer in Wyoming.
Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
So, and I was like, and you're like, yeah, dude, you're almost like, almost, I don't want to say you were borderline free spirited hippie there for a minute.
I was. Oh yeah.
Like, I'm just getting away, man.
Yeah, I was.
Fuck everybody.
I was like,
hey dude, kill it, man. I like it.
I totally was. And,
and then that's when you came home. We went to trade show. And we're like, let's call Bakken. What's he been up to?
Yeah. So it'd have been, yeah. Cause I don't even know if we at that point talked about it. Cause I think we were just talking about life in general.
Yeah.
because yeah, we were just talking about life shit. Because I think we were both going through it a little bit. Like my dad had just passed like earlier that year. You're going through this shit, so it would have been after the fall into that coming trade show.
It was probably you're probably right. It was going into that trade show season, and I remember I was sitting at home and I saw your name pop up on my phone. I'm like, the fuck does he want? I haven't talked to him in a while.
I thought I was done with these idiots. Yeah,
and at that time though, that was when like people were finding out. And I hate to even say it, but what really, when we launched our Valentine's video, that was like, hey, this is Dialed. And then that was like the announcement that like I was part of Dialed.
Yeah.
And that wasn't a very good way.
Is that your ultimate?
What was your name on that video?
I'm not saying.
Oh, what was it?
You can YouTube it.
I will right now.
Just what was it?
But anyways, it served its purpose. Yeah. Yeah. So then you guys called me.
Got you where you're at now, right?
Yeah. Look at me now. But, yeah, so then you guys called, and then that was when, like, yeah, Dialed's here, and that's me.
That's me.
That's me.
Us. I should say that's us.
Scooter rocking, right?
Scooter rocking right there. That's Scott Boggin.
Right.
So my mom watched this video.
And what'd she say?
She literally called me. She's like, so is this what you gave your life up for?
Did you say What'd you say? What was your response?
Yeah.
Such a disappointment.
Guessing you're here to talk about your archery needs. Let Uncle Scooter take you for a ride. Dear archery love life.
It's the blur. Dusty,
like Irene here.
I literally have never seen that part.
Spice things up. With the Arxos by Dialed Archery. See this angle right here? It'll help you go the distance. This void dial with the switch tape, it goes both ways, both inside and out.
Oh, you're shit.
For the long haul. You feel that? Rock hard American aluminum. A Dialed Archery's lifetime warranty. If you're looking to add a little cayenne pepper to your archery love life, show your Arxos a little love with Dialed Custom.
Oh, shit.
Available in 13 colors.
6061.
From all of us at Dialed Archery, we wish you a happy Valentine's Day, and Uncle Scooter will be seeing you down the road.
How do you even get your legs like that?
A bottle of whiskey.
Oh. Booze. That's awesome. Oh, Scott, that's kick-ass, dude.
Old Scooter.
Old Scooter. Yeah.
When is Scooter making a comeback? I mean, it can't be his only one, right?
We did a 4th of July video.
Oh, I saw that one.
Didn't make an appearance or what?
It's right there on the right.
Right here?
Yeah.
Oh, there's Scooter.
This was when everybody was giving us shit because they weren't getting their sights.
Yeah, me.
Oh, when you're out there making videos?
You're out there fucking off.
Yeah. So, yeah, one dude's like, I'd probably get my sights sooner if you guys weren't making videos.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
There's a trailer. Sure, you thought we were in.
Jesus.
I still have that fanny pack, too.
Full of steel and sex appeal.
You know we can't afford to license that. Shut up, hippie. I came here for my bow sight. Whoa, Scooter. They're shipping this month.
How many ticks do you get?
A lot.
Easy, Scooter. This month is about freedom. And Scooter always gets what he wants. All things that are made well and American made take time, Scooter. We're almost there. Well, what the hell am I supposed to do while I wait?
I'm a pretty good actor.
You're not bad.
You're really good.
You're not bad. Yeah.
You can light the shit out of that firework, I can tell you that.
It was hot as shit that day, too.
Fuck! You had to move over a chair.
That's awesome. I'm a fan.
Love it.
Eating a corn dog?
No, listen. Oh, that's it. No, it was a popsicle.
Oh,
So can we expect Scooter to make a comeback?
He'll miss.
I thought you had a corn dog. Which would have been equally as American.
Is Scooter going to make a comeback?
He will eventually.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I love it, man. We're proud of you. We're excited to be a part of this.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I mean, it's you know, again, just not to get all, you know, emotional, but again, it's just like being here now, it just, like, it's just all part of it, you know?
Right.
And again, like,
it makes sense.
Not that anything we did before, like, didn't matter or anything, but it led us to, like, this point, you know?
For sure.
And it's, 100%. You know, like, all the conversations we had before, like, all the stuff we wanted to do, like, whatever, and it's like, now we can finally do it. Like,
yeah.
And that was, like, the whole thing with Dial, like, you know, with the Cerakoting and stuff, like, all the customization and, I mean, everything we're doing now, like, that's just, like, the surface. Like, we haven't even tapped into, like, what we want to do or what, like, we're gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just the beginning.
That's exciting.
Awesome. That's a good business.
Because we talked through.
Scooter's got more.
We can't. Scooter's got more. We can't. We'll be careful with how we what we say, but, like, yeah, we just had a ton of ideas in the past and things, like things we wanted to explore.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say too, like,
we were kind of limited before.
I remember the phone call that, I don't know when it was, fairly recent. You're like, you called me up. I was like cleaning the garage or something. You're like, hey man, I don't want to ask you, and I want to, you know, you were very respectful, but it was like, let's explore some ideas. Like, let's explore. And I'm looking forward to the future, man. That's,
I mean, that's two short things. Like, if you could describe me, like, I'm an idea man and I like to explore. So the fact that was in one sentence kind of makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of makes sense.
I was like, where are you going with this?
Yeah. It really could go anywhere. How do you feel about airplanes and midgets? Like
well,
am I talking to Scott or am I talking to Scooter?
It's one in the
same. Airplanes and midgets, don't hate either.
Let's not kid ourselves.
I've been on an airplane, never been on a midget.
Yeah.
This got a lot of weird in one sentence.
No, it is exciting, and I mean, it's, you know, if I'm being honest, like, it's scary too, you know, because,
you know,
like, I look at it, you know, like, with our group, you know, like, Jordan, Taylor, I mean, they're young dudes, they got young families, like, I don't have a family or anything, like, well, I mean, I don't provide for anybody, but it's like, now it's like, I feel responsible. Like, even though we're all partners, like, we're all in this together, but, like, there's no, like, failure's not an option, you know? So it's like, whatever we have to do, let's do it, you know?
Yeah.
And
your balls deep in it.
I mean, there is no plan B from here, you know, like, this is it. And so when the opportunity came to, like, us finally partner up and, like, do all the things that we talked about, it's like, that's a no-brainer, you know? Yeah. And it kind of, again, like, there's that synergy in the fact that, like, you know, again, looking back to where, when we first met to, like, where you guys are now, leaps and bounds. So, like, you guys, I mean, you guys know all the stuff that, like, you've gone through, which we're going through. And, you know, then again, here we are. So it's like, you combine that. I mean, that is like a driving force
for sure,
the future. So it's like,
we meet in the middle.
No, that doesn't apply here. That's a good song, though.
Damn it.
No, that's
good song, but
no, that's not what I was thinking about.
I thought we'd just be in the middle.
That much.
No.
I thought we'd just be in the middle.
I get shit right over the soundboard.
I don't want to meet in the middle. I want to go above the middle.
Yeah, we're meeting at the top and then taking the top higher.
Yeah. You can stay in the middle if you want.
I thought we'd be in the middle and go up.
There's a song that we could. There's a song with a great analogy in there somewhere.
What about like Drake? Like, we started from the bottom, now we're here.
That would have been better than meeting in the middle. Better.
Yeah, except we're still at the bottom, but we'll get there.
Hey, none of the other assholes came up with a song, so
he just did.
Literally just did in 2 seconds.
After I came with the song.
Eric's delusional from that chippy this podcast.
I'm not going to lie. I'm doing a million times better than that fucking pepper.
You also drink like 8 glasses of rum or whiskey right after you ate that chip, so that helps.
Well, the pepper I ate drank 14 beers, so.
Well, you got a ways to go then.
What you think, whiskey or beer is a better? Were you drinking whiskey? Is that what you were drinking after the chip?
No, rum.
Rum.
Oh, rum. Okay, rum. Yeah. I was right. The sugar offset. All that sugar offset the spice of the chip.
Hey, we did find something out tonight. Turns out rum has no sugar in it.
Oh, yeah.
We're at dinner. I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to go like a month not like drinking beer. I'm just going to drink some like white rum and like water, you know? And they're like, yeah, but dude, rum's loaded with sugar. I'm like, fuck, I think you are right. Like, I think that is right.
Old rum used to be loaded with sugar. That's how they put it. Right.
White rum isn't, but.
Well, all rum now is distilled, so all Alexa rum now told has us. Like zero sugar.
Yeah, we're talking about it at the bar, and I'm like, hey, Alexa, hey, bitch, what's up with that sugar in this rum? They're like, there ain't no sugar in that rum. I was like, damn, told you guys.
Yeah.
Shit, fuck. That was like, tasty. Like,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, I always hear people say, oh, I can't drink rum because the sugar gives me a headache.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, well, maybe it's like the
nine glasses of rum that gave you a headache.
Or the rum with orange juice and grenadine and
the Coca-Cola you're mixing with.
It's the Coke that you're mixing with.
Yeah. Turns out it's the soda.
The soda.
So, dude, anything else we got to throw in here?
Got any big hunts coming up? You going to have any time to hunt?
No, I don't hunt anymore.
No, you're all done with that.
Everybody wants a job in the industry until it's time to work in the industry.
That was like the one, like going into last fall, we were all like, oh yeah, like we're going to go on these trips. Like we're going to get content for Dialed, all this stuff. And none of us did shit.
Right out the window.
You ain't got time to take a shit.
I hunted 3 nights and it was with a muzzleloader. Hey, I think I shot my bow. Well, I shot my bow a lot, probably more than I have, just for like testing and whatever. But I didn't sit in a tree stand a single time. I put out one trail camera. I hung 2 tree stands, which, as I said, I never sat. So no, I don't. I don't. I did. I mean, just. I did put in for Wyoming elk tag this year. Just I'll be back out there guiding again. But man, I don't know. Right
That's
now,
a it's sacrifice, man.
It's right now. It's just it's all dialed.
Yeah.
So
cut yourself 7 days for an elk hunt if you draw.
Thing is I mean, even 7 days though. I mean, that's the crazy. Like I have so much respect for like business owners, and because like there is no end, like. I mean, we're at the shop from sun up to sundown.
There's no off switch.
From sundown till whenever, that's when I get all the office shit done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you get a couple hours of sleep, but then I don't sleep because I wake up because I'm thinking about, I got bills to pay tomorrow. I got this. We got this. I got to remember this. So there is no off. So
there's no off switch.
It's really hard as much as I would, like, honestly, like being here, this is like the closest to having a vacation that I've had in the last 18 months.
You're talking about your business.
And I mean, seriously, like my phone's been in my pocket the whole time, like whatever, but it's, I mean, that's just how it is, but it's like, you know, what do they call it? It's a labor of love, you know? So I like it, you know, like as much as I love hunting and all that stuff, like, you know, a couple years without hunting, whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
you grind it out now and 2 or 3 years down the road, you'll be back doing what you
And it's great. Like, you know, it sounds kind of fucked up, but I like living vicariously through like you guys, you know, or like people that are using our stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like we had a guy, he actually did the launch video for Hoyt, and he was on a bighorn sheep hunt in Canada, and like watching all of that, like as much as I would love to do that, like that's a like bucket list hunt for me to be able to watch that. It was like, I'm satisfied. Like, mm-hmm. Like to see somebody accomplish that with like our product.
Yeah.
Like that's like that. Okay. I can like go to bed happy that night.
For sure.
Like that's why we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was like the big thing with Dialed too is, you know, the industry is like given me so much over like my lifetime. So, you know, again, kind of going back to like one of my previous comments about like the way the industry is going with, you know, there's not a lot of new companies popping up, like not like there used to be.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, like it's been a long time. Like you walk the ATA floor and like all these companies that you grew up, like like knowing, and then all of a sudden they're owned by this private equity company or this private equity company. Like maybe someday Dialed will be owned by a private equity company. I don't know, but it's not good. Like it's like, in my opinion, it's not good for the health of the industry. Like
agreed.
It does not promote growth because it's all about dollars, right?
Yep.
So, you know, if Dialed can do one thing, like, you know, whether we're here 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever our tenure is, if it can motivate like younger guys or younger people, men, women, doesn't matter, to take the risk and like start a new company and pump new blood into the industry, that's what's going to like make it survive. You know, that's 100%. That is the future of hunting in general, is the younger generation. Right. And, you know, again, not to bring up the evil COVID word, but if that was the one thing that we saw, was participation was through the roof, right? And but now we're not seeing the retention. Like, are we higher than we were prior to COVID? 100%. But we also lost a lot of participants. So, you know, again, like if we can like encourage like anybody to like take that risk, like start a company, like whatever it is, like fucking do it, because the industry needs it
for sure. Yeah, it's kind of scary when you see all that going on, but
it is, and it's not good. I mean, it's, you know, and again, like, I mean, you're talking, I mean, like big problems, you know, societal stuff, like tribal, you know, whatever, but it's not for the health of the hunting industry. Like, it's not good.
Time is now.
Yeah, so
it's a good point. Something to think about
out there. For sure.
But also it's like, man, some of these companies, it's like they just get offered a crazy, like life-changing amount of money for some of these guys. It's like, fuck.
I mean, honestly, I don't blame them one bit.
You can't blame them.
I mean, especially now, like having gone through everything that we've gone through. And again, that's only the start of the struggle. Like we say all the time, like we think things are hard now, like 10 years from now, when we're 10 times bigger, it just gets harder.
I mean,
you know, having more employees, like problems get bigger, problems cost more money. Like it just gets harder.
Yeah.
So I get it,
but man. Problems like, make you learn.
Like there is that time when you realize like, okay, it's time. Like I've grinded it out. I've sacrificed. Like it's time to walk away. Don't blame anybody one bit. Like you go, like you did your dues, like go enjoy life, you know, take your wife on all those vacations, like go hunt wherever you wanted to hunt. Like, don't blame them one bit. But the problem with that is there's not anybody behind that, right? Like starting over, you know, there's no new growth. And that's the problem. It's not the selling out. Like that's just business life cycle.
This might sound bad, but it's almost kind of like the American dream in a way, is like build something, make a ton of money off it, and then you can recycle and start something something new. But
well, and I mean, like we're going down a rabbit hole right now.
Yeah, this is deep.
I mean, I can tell you like firsthand, I mean, that American dream, like it is a dream, you know, be your own boss, like start your own company, you know, but fuck man, like I just had to pay like our like quarterly taxes on Tuesday. There, that dream is bullshit, you know, and
it is.
You know, like you bust your ass, like all the sleepless nights, like everything. And you finally see your bank account starting to like climb. And then just like that, it's fucking gone.
Yeah.
Stroke of a pen, all gone.
The sleepless nights away from family.
Means nothing. I mean, means nothing.
Taxes are the devil.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, like, I don't have a problem with taxes, but it's just like,
it's just so much taxes.
You're trying to the wrong people.
You're trying to better yourself, and then they just throw you in a fucking trash can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
I'm saying, dude, if you had to go pay your monthly income tax, everybody did down at the fucking courthouse or whatever, there'd be a goddamn revolt.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't have an income, so I don't pay income tax.
Well, but the people know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, imagine every week you see that number, and then you're like, oh, this is what you're going to have to pay at the end of the month on your check stub, and you had to go down and pay it. We'd be at a civil war, dude, with 100%. The government.
It's brutal, man. And, like, I've never had more empathy for, like, like business owners, you know, like family businesses than I do now. Like I get it, man.
Dude, I get why all the rappers never paid their taxes, dude. I'm like, how's all these guys all this money don't pay taxes? I'm like, yeah, man, I get it.
I don't, because most of them aren't even that good.
I know, I'm being an asshole, but it's like Lil Wayne got popped for tax fraud back in the day. I'm like, damn, how does Lil Wayne get popped? Doesn't Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, do you blame yeah. Hey, do you blame him?
Well, he probably didn't know what taxes were.
No, fuck.
But I don't blame him.
He probably thought it was taxis.
Oh, yeah.
I already paid those.
Yeah, I bought a bunch of those.
What do you mean? Income tax.
I put it in a song. I wrote that shit off.
Yeah.
They just dropped me off.
I wrote that shit off.
It's fucked up.
That was the other thing, like... You know, that's always like the big joke of like working for yourself. It's like, oh, I'm going to buy something and I'll just write it off.
Write it off.
Like, I'm going to buy this. I'll just write it off.
That's
like,
not how it works.
That doesn't mean anything.
It's a write off. What does that mean?
It's a write off.
You still have to pay for it. Yeah. Doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. There's a science to that. Yeah. Well, dude, where can people find Dialed Archery?
Dialedarchery.com.
I love it, though. How'd you think Google of that? It. Easy.
I didn't.
It's amazing. It is. The name is so good. It's amazing that somebody else already had it.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And, you know, again, it's just, you know, I think there's as much as there was like strategy. I mean, there's a lot of strategy. There's a lot of luck too, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that was part of it. But I mean, even from like Jordan, like coming up with our logo, you know, it's just.
It's clean.
It's just. There again, everything's just it's there for a reason.
Yeah, you know? It's a damn good look, man.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you. We're proud of you. We're excited for the partnership and growing together and doing cool shit together. We're excited to bring some cool stuff in the future to WCB listeners and Dialed Archery consumers.
Oh yeah, so it's gonna be awesome.
Thanks for reaching out and letting us be a part of this.
My pleasure. Glad you guys. Gave us the opportunity and have faith in us, and
of course,
it's gonna be pretty rad.
Cool.
We're glad you still have faith in us.
Anybody else?
Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Doug.
I appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
Let's not wait 3 years for the next one.
I know. I need to just like move closer. I was literally thinking about that on the way down.
Hey, you can move into this building right here.
Don't tempt me with a good time.
Dow just has to pay to finish it.
Wow. There lies the issue.
It's a write-off.
Yeah, just write it off.
Write it off. That's a tax write-off, right?
It's minus 20 in Minnesota right now, so
ugh.
I would pretty much.
Hey, you can stay here as long as you want.
I might. I might.
It's going to cost you a partnership, big partnership branding deal.
Shit.
But you can live here.
Got him.
Got you, bitch. Austin, what you got?
Nothing, man. Thanks for coming down. It was awesome. Good to see you again.
It's truly, I mean, it's awesome to see you guys. Yeah. I can't believe it's been that long. But
it's sad, actually. Awesome. And this is your first time here, and that's even more sad.
Crazy. And I'm not going to say I apologize for my comments walking in the door, because they are justified, but... Like, I'm truly, like, I was,
we were kind of offended by
it's
it.
They're backhanded, but that's good.
I'm sorry for your sensitivity. You know, like, grow up, Peter Pan. But it was like, I mean, it was like sticker shock. Like, I mean, this place is amazing.
Thanks, man.
I mean, again, to like, it's so, like, I'm so happy and like proud of you guys. Cause again, like going back from like our very first podcast, like. I remember that. Like, I don't remember shit. Like, I remember that very first podcast. And then to, like, see you guys here and, like, see how much you guys have grown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is, like, kudos to you guys. Like,
I remember our conversation, like, the following week after that podcast came out. And I remember being like, hey, man, you know, you think we could maybe do, like, a sponsorship or something? You're like, yeah, I'll send you a couple
forms.
Cool, sponsored. That's how it started.
Yeah.
Like, really? That was, like, the start of, like... But then, you know, the friendship started, too, and that's, like, the most important thing. But I'm glad that
I really think, like, the, like, rubber meets the road moment was when you guys actually... You came to my Christmas party.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And that was, like, you guys probably didn't know it at the time, but that was a test. And... I remember when you guys showed up in your sweatpants and your hoodies.
Steve was the only one that had sweatpants on, for the record.
Yeah, but like, let's be honest. Like, everyone was in like suit and ties and shit. We show up looking like fucking bums.
Oh yeah,
we are. And I remember the the old timer that was manning the door for Coates, and he was my neighbor. He was not a hired person, but
he's a slave.
I remember he being like, "Hey, do you know these guys?" I'm being like, "Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, they're cool." I'm like, "You guys couldn't even like wear polos or anything." Like,
we didn't get a fucking Fitch fucking okay.
What's a polo? Yeah, and then you ruin that dude's Christmas.
Hey, fuck
Kurt
that
did,
kid,
Kurt, no, did. Kurt ruined that guy. That kid's Christmas.
That kid got a brand new snowmobile for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know I ruined it. Everyone was all talking about it. Then you're like, hey, talk to him. I'm like, oh, he already got it.
No, he didn't know he was getting it.
I know. I thought about it the other day. I was like, ah, oh, fuck. But you know, I didn't ruin his Christmas.
Yeah, fuck you that dude. He got a brand new snowmobile for Christmas.
I'm sure he was real sad about it.
Long story short, it was a kid from the area that you guys were friends with or whatever.
He's probably listening.
Shout out to him, dude. Yeah, it's good. I hope he still has that snowmobile, or he's probably got a newer one. But we're all at the bar, and everyone's like showing pictures of the snowmobile and talking to him on the phone. So I'm like, oh, he got it already because it's winter. I figured that was his Christmas gift. I'm like, damn, dude, rad snowmobile.
And we're like, no.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Just ruins it.
I think somebody actually like took the phone and would like slammed it in the bar.
Fucking gave it to somebody.
Oh, yeah.
But then they were like, oh, no, he was already at the dealership and saw his name on it.
Yeah, he picked
it. So I'm like, he knew it. I just.
Yeah.
You ruined it.
You're fine.
Hey, you know what, dude? Fucking ruined my Christmas.
And then you told him that Santa Claus wasn't real and the Easter Bunny was gay.
That's what got
him. Yeah, that's the bad part.
Don't be.
that was really the bad part.
I forgot about that.
Thanks for bringing it up, Doug.
Damn, you're right. All right, now I feel a little embarrassed. Not about the snowmobile part.
Well, you know,
calling the Easter Bunny gay, it's a shame.
Well, you just don't know.
Whoops.
All right, it's time to go. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. You know what to do. Check out dialedarchery.com and go shoot your bow with a dial on it. We love you. Peace.